far anymore. Hi everyone, my name is Patricia, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Patricia.
And when Gilly asked me to speak, my initial reaction was not, yeah, sure, great. It was kind of like, no, I don't want him, but I'm going to say yes. That's what AA taught me, is never say no. And to give back to the program, that's a very important part of the fellowship. The fellowship has done so much for me, and I could never repay it. So this is what I do. I do service. It keeps me connected, keeps me grounded, keeps me humble, and it also always reminds me of who I am and where I come from. So I'm going to do the typical share. I'm going to start how it was, what happened, and what it's like now. How it was, I was wrong. Everything, my judgments, my motives, my everything, my needs, my wants, my all wrong. The way that I felt about myself, the way that I saw myself, the way I saw others, is just one big warped perception, and which can explain a lot of my behaviors. I grew up in a very extremely loving family. I have no horror stories about my childhood. I'm the youngest of four, so I was very spoiled emotionally. I always worked my whole life, you know. There was never a worry about money, but I always worked. It wasn't like money was thrown at me for solutions, which is a good thing because I don't know where it'd be. But no, I was very spoiled emotionally. It was always someone was always there to make me feel better, to comfort me, to love me, there's just somebody always there to pick up my shit, you know? So I grew up that way. I was quite quiet, actually, around the family. I come also from a family of very distinct characters. They're great people, but they're kind of overwhelming. And I was always very quiet. I was always, you know, smiling and doing what I thought was right. And then I started, okay, I'll bring you back to my first chunk. I think it was my first one. It was the one that I remember. I was in grade 7, I was about 12. My birthday's in September, so I was always a year younger than my peers, which I think my thoughts are when you're in high school that year, it makes a big difference. It might not between 24, 25, 29, 30, but I think between 15, 16, and 12, and 13, it does make quite a bit of a difference. For me, it did. Me and my girlfriend, we'd get wine coolers before school dance and get all drunk and stupid. And my first one was, I remember I maybe had two or three wine coolers, and I felt great. I remember being on the bus, talking to everybody, just feeling better than I usually do, more less inhibited, less different, and I had more confidence. And I remember being at the dance and kind of like dancing, which I would never dance, and that's what it did for me. It gave me all kinds of confidence and gave me an outgoing personality at the time. And then that's my high school kind of went like that. I progressed, you know, went from wine coolers to beers to King cans to hard alcohol. I was always the one to fall down. I was always the one to fall down. I was never upright. But I would be falling downstairs at house parties. As soon as we get a house party, I'd raise the liquor cabinet. I wouldn't care who you were or whether you wanted me to drink your alcohol. I would just drink it. And it was always, I had to make sure I had enough. I never wanted to be without. I always needed more. I was always the one to take it to an extreme, you know. Growing up, you know, just I'm sure everyone else can identify. I never felt right. I never felt like everyone else. I felt a little bit different, which kept me from connecting to people, you know. It was always about me, first of all, and it was always how shitty my situation is and poor me, and I was always envious of you, and I always thought you were great, And that's pretty much how it went. So high school I drank a lot. And, you know, weekends, I never really drank during the week. It was the weekends, but every weekend I got drunk. And then, when I was like 18, 19, I had a boyfriend at the time, and I didn't drink, but I was addicted to him. So it's kind of like a, you know, the gopher effect, one thing to another. And that didn't end too well. And then I started working in a bar, and that was great. I felt great. I felt like, you know how they say, I felt like I arrived, you know, I felt like I arrived at a job in the local bar. At the time, it was great. I felt really proud of that. And I drank a lot. I always wanted to impress the people that I worked with. I just wanted to be in the party, to be laughing with them, to, you know, just be a part of. But I always took it to the extreme. I was always the one puking in the bathroom, or, you know, when I was sober, I was fine. I didn't really speak my mind or anything. I kind of like, I was people pleasing, you know. I wanted to make sure everyone was fine and no one hated me. But when I would get drunk, that's when I start telling people off. And not a good thing to start telling off your coworkers, you know. So I was never really a good drunk. And I would always take it to the extreme. And then drugs are a part of my story. I'll just mention them briefly, but they are a part of my story. And then I moved into my own apartment. That was going well, and I started working another job, you know. And I can remember every job that I worked at. I worked at about four different bar restaurants, and every one, you know, after a couple months of working there, I'd have my boss coming up to me and telling me that you've changed. You know, you're not the person that I hired. And that's because at first I wouldn't drink that much, and I'd be kind of like low-key, and then as soon as I feel comfortable, that's when I'd start drinking a lot and just thinking the rules didn't apply to me, showing up late, any excuse to pretty much break the rules. We're not smoking while working, but I can. And I start, you know, like stuff like that. Rules that were set for everyone, I didn't think that I had, they applied to me. That was me growing up, too. Every one of my bosses would always say, it was so funny, like, within a few months, you know, you've changed. You're not the person that I hired. You're not the, you know, and it was always once I started drinking a lot, they'd see a different side of me. And then I got into cocaine. Actually, I'll back up a little bit. Before that, the reason why I moved out of my hometown was I had a panic attack, a nervous breakdown, and at work. That's when I was drinking a lot, and I was smoking a lot of pot, and I got paranoid, and I thought everyone was out to get me, and it was really actually quite sad and gross. But I was just totally embarrassed, and I still didn't really know what was what. You know, I know I slipped out, but I don't know how much was it me slipping out, or how much was it the truth, or my trust piece. You know what I mean? Like, I was still a little bit off. Obviously, and then that's when I moved and I started working in another place, and then that's when I started doing cocaine. And I loved cocaine because it did everything for me that I didn't like about alcohol. I didn't like alcohol because I got sloppy. I didn't like alcohol because I'd always regret the morning after. I'd always regret it because I'd always done something stupid, and it kept me up longer. And it allowed me to drink longer. So I took the cocaine very fast. And that brought me down really fast. Within like a year and a half, I was almost on the streets. I thank God that I never got to the streets. And that's only because of my family. My family was there too. Like I say, I was always taken care of, you know. I couldn't pay rent anymore. I was hanging out with I mean, I was extremely impressed by them, but they were drug dealers. They were, you know, people that I thought were extremely dangerous and different, and I was extremely impressed by it. It was it was a very seducing scene, I found. And the person that I was hanging out with, actually, the weekend that I moved back home, he got murdered, and that's when I I had no money left. I owed my roommate like $700, and my job, they were ready to let me go, and I was lost. I was either high, drunk, depressed, or asleep. Pretty much what I was. And it was a very desperate place for me. I saw where I was going, and it wasn't where I wanted to go. I knew prostitution was just down the street, and I knew, being extremely dependent or desperate, or it just, you know, it wasn't good. So that's when I moved back home, and I thought just moving home would be fair enough. You know, I'd be away from the source. I'd be away from. At this point, I didn't think alcohol had anything to do with it. You know, it was all drugs that got me there. And I always say I thank God for cocaine because it brought me down really fast. And I believe if I never did cocaine, I'd still be drinking. And I think it would take me another 10, 15 years to get some turns. So I always thank cocaine for that. So where am I? I'm at home. Told my parents. They weren't too shocked. Very supportive. But again, I thought just moving back home, getting away from the scene, getting away from people would be enough. Sure enough, I got drunk every night, and every chance that I had money, I would go and use. And my parents, you know, like I was just four, they're in their retirement, and the last thing they want is an alcoholic in their house that's not trying to get better. So I have a girlfriend, and she has a friend that came over, and what I know now, she did a one-on-one share with me. She told me about her past and then what happened and how it's like now, like I'm doing now. She did that for me, and that's what got me to rehab. Rehab was the only answer for me. I couldn't do it on my own. I'd have a desire to do it on my own for 3 hours, but then as soon as the itch would come, I want to drink and drug and get away from myself and my feelings and my situation. I hated my reality. I always needed to be at a certain level. I had this person in my head that I'm supposed to be, and if I'm not that person, you know, it's all to shit and I'm worthless and it's that. The next thing is it's there. That's what I grew up with. I grew up with trying to live up to this person that I'm supposed to be. And I could never connect to people, I could never relate to people, I could never feel comfortable in my skin. It was just constant discomfort. And of course the drugs and alcohol helped with that at the time. And so now I'm in rehab. And best thing I could have done, it brought me to these rooms. I completed my rehab, which is the first thing, which was great because I really put a lot of myself, like I never put effort like I did in anything else that I did in the rehab. That meant a lot to me. In the rehab, I was with people who this had been their third, fourth, fifth treatment, and that I thank God for them because they gave me the willingness to try hard. You know, I didn't want to be back there again. And I slipped the first 6 months of my recovery. Every time I felt uncomfortable, every time I felt just not happy with my situation, I would go and use and drink, and every time it got worse. I used and I drank to escape. I always thought that I became this wonderful person when I was drinking, you know? And I forgot about all the embarrassment glues of the next morning and the people telling me, you know, it's not that bad, that, you know, deep down inside it is that bad. So anyhow, I came to these meetings, and I swear to God, the first time I stepped into a meeting, it was Thursday night serendipity. It was a beginner's meeting. I felt totally at home. It was, I finally was like, hey, you're my people, man. I understand you. You understand me. This is going to work out great. This is where I need to be. And I truly felt that way. But I slept the first 6 months. But I always came back the right next day. I always kept coming back. I always stayed connected with at least one member. And then finally, my last drunk was December 31st, 2003, going into 2004. I was with my sister and her friend up at my cottage, and I thought, you know, none of them do drugs, none of them do cocaine, so I'll be fine. And I went with them, and, you know, 10:30 rolls around, they're all starting to get, like, the giddiness and the happiness, and the alcohol started to kick into them. And, of course, I want to be a part of, I want to feel like them, so, but I can't because my sister knows that I'm not supposed to drink. So I've been drinking Diet Coke the whole night, and so I took the kind of Diet Coke and I filled it with gin, thinking, you know, this Diet Coke can filled with gin is just going to get me tipsy. So I drink it, and I got totally wasted. I started asking my sister's friends for drugs, and it was a cute scene. And I passed out before midnight. I got sick, and I passed out before midnight. So that was my last drunk. Very glamorous. Okay? And that was the last time I drank. I've been sober since then, so it's been about a year and a half. I've been active in the program. I've, you know, a big part of my dis-ease growing up was not feeling like, you know, like a mind-body connection, feeling like a human being, feeling like having some compassion for myself, you know? How can you have compassion for others if you don't have compassion for yourself? If you can't accept yourself as who you are, you know, you're constantly going to be, well, I was constantly uncomfortable and upset with myself and not happy with myself. And that caused my whole using it and trying to impress people and trying, I was either, like they say, typically, I was either above you or below you. I was never on the same page. And this is what this program has given me. It really has. It's given me a sense of humanity. Giving me a sense of what it is to be a human being, to have compassion for others, to relate, to be a friend, to be a daughter, to be a sister. You know, I was just talking to a member today, and it was just beautiful. I was sitting outside, my sister just bought a new house, her first house, and I was able to enjoy that moment with her. I was able to be happy for her. I was able to talk to her, learn from her. I was like a human being. I don't know if you guys are getting what I'm saying, but it's just, it's wonderful. And that's the major gift of this program. I'm able to get through life without running, hiding, throwing fists. I was big at acting out, by the way. Loved acting out. I have not gone through my whole step yet. For whatever reason, I'm on step 1, 2, 3 still. I'm very much looking forward to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I am working with a sponsor. I've always had a sponsor. I've always been active in a home group, at least one. I've always been in contact with members. I, you know, I've got a lot of things to work on myself, but so do you guys. Sorry. But I look forward to it. You know, everything is life is has, you know, I never understood the meaning to anything. I never valued anything. I always wanted something immediately. And once I got it, I wanted the next thing. Once I got that, I wanted the next thing. And this is just, I feel great. And like I say, I feel a part of the human race. I feel connected. I feel like I can be, I can work on myself and be a good person. I have value for myself today. And, you know, if I'm not good, then I'm not good to anyone. And that's about all I have to say. And it's all thanks to the program. Thank you. You laughed when I said prayers here.